Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Erechin Daf Chof Aleph. We begin on Chof Amad Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Yomid. Because there were those, the Masni Law, that would apply this concept, aha, on a totally different context. So this relates to yesterday, where we mentioned Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that a person can actually make a kinyan. He can commit himself regarding something which is in the future, something which isn't even here yet. So for instance, he can be Magdish. He can donate to Hegdish something which has yet to arrive. So we had one version yesterday. Here comes another version of the same concept, applied in a different setting. Vika Damas Naha. So some applied it to the following halacha. Remember Bryson. Hamasker Bais Lachavera Binisnaga. Okay, so Reuven rented this home to Shimon, and suddenly a nega appears in the house, which pretty much makes it difficult to live in. I mean, the house is tamei, right? Aval b'shecholtoi koyin, even if the koyin actually condemned it, designated it as tamei. And Rashi points out it's about to be demolished, as per the halacha of a nega. So as long as it's still standing, Omer loy, Reuven, the landlord, can tell the tenant, hang on, harishal chalaf anecha, here's your house. I'm not going to replace it at this point. So even though you become tamei by living in there, it's Tosis points out that it would sound like you can actually use a house, that it's mutar bahano in this state. And it brings a raya that it's not so. So in conclusion, Tosis says, of course, he can't actually live there. But what the Gemara means is to say that he doesn't have to replace it. He can say, look, fact is, here's the house. Okay, you're having a hard time? Okay, I'll forego the rent. And he says, we're speaking that he rented him this house, Bais Zeh. And since the actual physical element of the house is still here, so he doesn't have to replace it. But of course he has to forego his rent. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. Okay, but this is only as long as the house is still physically standing. But suppose Nusatzai, they already, you know, demolished it. So the Kohen demolished it, or on order of the Kohen, right? Chayv Lahamid Le Bayis. Now, of course, the landlord has to replace the home and give him a substitute. And why? So Rashi says an interesting thing. Rashi on the bottom line. He says, the Mishum Mazle Damasco, we attribute it to the luck or to the account of the landlord. It's his issue, it's his responsibility. Well, we learned the other day that nega can be caused by dishonesty, by robbing, by stinginess, so we blame it on the landlord. The fact is, it's his house, and that's why he's encountering this difficulty, because of his shortcomings. So it's all blamed on the owner. Interesting. So that's why he has to replace the home that was demolished. Chayv Laham Libayis, has to give him a different place to live. The Brisa continues on the next Amud. Higdishay Hadorboy. At this point, we figure that the Brisa means that the Dor, the tenant, Shimon, actually donated the house. The question will be, how could he do that? It's not really his. It's only his to live in. In any case, he made it Hegdish. So now he has to forward the rent to Hegdish. Malas Harla Hegdish. So his rent is sent to the Hegdish. Ask the Gemara, how could he even be Magdish? It's not his. Higdishai HaDorboy. How could you say that the Dorboy, the one living, the tenant, can actually make it a Hegdish? It's not his. Hechi Motzi Magdish. How does he have the ability to be Magdish? It is Ki Hegdish Beisei Kodesh HaMachon. The Pasuk in describing the donation process refers to it like this. Vish Ki Hegdish is Beisei Kodesh. A person, you know, donated his house. That's how Torah describes the process. And we learn, it has to be like your house, in your possession, yours, not just you renting it. My base is just like your home, Bershusa, is your possession. It's actually owned by you. And only that can you be Magdish, Av, Koyo, likewise any item. In order to be Magdish, it has to be Bershusa, it has to be in your possession, it has to be yours. So how could he donate the landlord's house? Okay, come the Brisa. No, the Brisa means differently. Higdisha masker. We're speaking that the owner, the landlord, rented it, donated it to the Hegdish. So in this case, he foregoes the rent. The rent is now being sent straight to Hegdish because they own the property. Hador boy, so the one living there, Shimon Malas Chal Hegdish, he forwards his rental check to the Hegdish. Ask the Gemara, Hegdish Masker. So if the owner was Magdish, that's a valid Hegdish. Hechadar Bay, how can Shimon even continue living there? It belongs to Hegdish. I mean, look, he's diverting Hegdish, you know, possessions for personal use. You can't just walk in and even for pay, it belongs to Hegdish. Mesu. Next point, you're telling me that the rent is sent to the Hegdish. What's the point? Malas char la Hegdish. He pays the Hegdish the rent. Given the Moal Bay, once the one living, the resident, committed Me'ila, you know what happens by Me'ila? Rashi explains the word Me'ila means Shinoi. It gets converted, it gets changed. It's a change of status. That's the definition of Me'ila. You're diverting it. So it's been diverted, it's been changed. It's no longer Hegdish. So once you do Me'ila, that's it. It loses Hegdish status. Given the Moal Bay, once you did Me'ila on this property, Nafak leis char lachuz. Now the property is no longer Hegdish, and the rent as well does not belong to Hegdish. So what's going on in this price? Somebody was Magdish it, and the rent goes to Hegdish. How could it be? The renter can't be Magdish, not his. The landlord, okay, then it's Hegdish, you can't live there. Says the Gemara, he was Magdish the future income of this property, not the property itself, but the rent that will arrive later. And you could do that, as we learned yesterday, you could be magdish something down the road. The Amar was speaking that the landlord, Reuben, got up and pledged as follows. When the rent will show up, Yigdash will become Kaddish. So the property is not Kaddish, which allows Shimon to continue living there, but the rent, when it gets produced, goes straight to Hegdash. Asks the Gemara, the rent wasn't yet here at this early point. How could you be magdish something down the road? The person can be magdish something which doesn't yet exist. Amar vida marav. No, you can. Hamani Rav Meir. We're going to Rav Meir. The Amar says you can do that. A person can personally obligate himself, right? Machayev himself to something which is going to arrive in the future. The Amar adam magdish. A person can donate even a davar shalei b'loy. Because the Amar, there's another version of this. You know the names here. Who said what? Amar probably Abaye. And some say, so he's pledging the future income, command, Rav Meir. Is this in line with Rav Meir, perhaps? So sort of a question. The Amar, Adam, Magdish, Davar, Shalebulim. Is this in line with Rav Meir, who says that typically a person can donate something down the road? So we're sort of wondering, yes? Amar Lehi says, of course. Who else? Well, come on. Continues the Mishnah. So a person pledges, he donates, and he is not paying. So there's a system called Mimashkin in Isan. The treasurer comes down, the sheriff comes down and grabs a collateral to ensure, you know, full payment to the Hegdish. And the question is, when, in what type of situation do we apply this collateral system, this, you know, forced payment system? So in the Mishnah we're going to learn, it's only when there's a concern the person, in fact, will not pay up his pledge because he's not motivated to do so for, you know, personal reasons. But if there's a kapara that he's going to benefit from directly, in that case, like a chatas, like an osh, there's no need to go after him. He's personally motivated to do so. There's no need to enforce it. It says the Mishnah, chayav erechin, a person who's obligated to pay up an erech, and he's not paying, mimashkin noisim, we go after him, and we enforce it. But chayav chatas v'ashamais, which generate atonement, there's no reason to force him. He's more than happy to do it. Ein mashkin noisim. What about chayev oilos shlamim? An oilos shlamim is a donation without a real direct kapara. And Rashi points out, even though, you know, they do atone for a mitzvah asay that was violated, but it's not a chayev, it's not a personal obligation, it's sort of a bonus. You bring it, you get a kapara. So a person will just tittle, daddle, and, you know, tarry and not bring it, and therefore you have to go after him. But the Mishnah continues. Avol b'shem neschar pelat shisratza b'shino. Even if we're going to twist his arm, the actual kapara will only be effective if he's misratz, if he does it willingly. The pasuk says it has to be willingly. So you have this dilemma. On the one hand, you're enforcing it, and you're forcing him, and you're compelling him, but then you want him to do it with a smile? How do you accomplish it? Says the Gemara, here's the trick. We force him until he says, yes, I'm happy to do it. Right, Sani. And the Rambam, you know, in Hilchas Gittin, which pertains to the next line in the Mishnah, let's just finish the Mishnah. The same applies to a forced get in cases where a husband is compelled, because the halacha compels him to give a get and we force him, but ultimately it has to be done willingly. How do you accomplish both at once? You force him to do it willingly? Yeah, it's quite nice. We force him, we compel him, achiyam, until he concedes and says, yes, sure, I'm happy to do it. Achiyam, right, Sunny. And the Rambam asks, how does it work? I mean, the fact is he's being forced to say, I'm willing. So the Rambam says, beautiful thing, he says, really? A person, here's the Lashon of Rambam, listen to the Lashon. Misha takfa yitzrei hara. A person was compelled by his yitzhar. It's not really him. It's some sort of evil, external evil force that's forcing him to do something which he doesn't really want to do. He wants to do good. He wants to do a mitzvah, but the yitzhar is getting in his way. What do? We get the yitzhar out of the way. And once it's out of the way, his neshama shines forth. Right, Sani, of course, I want to do Hashem's ratzon. Sure, my whole heart. Misha takfa yitzrei hara levatal mitzvah. It's hara. Stood in his way, get in the way of a mitzvah or trying to get him to do an avera buhuka, and he was struck. Okay, so he was forced to do something which he's obligated to do, or alternatively, to keep away from something improper. That's not called oines. Ein's the onus memenu. It's not like something beyond him. It's his doing, it relates to him. Elu atzmoi. The real person wanted to do the right thing or keep away from doing improper. He was going through a forced situation when Yitzhara was trying to pull him in the opposite, in the wrong direction. That was against his will. And now we're just allowing him to run his natural course. We're not forced. We're just getting the impediments out of the way. Lefichach, says the Rambam, a person doesn't want a divorce when he's meant to. Machash roitz aleis miyisrael. The fact is, every yid wants to be a yid. Roitz who lasts is called mitzvahs. Every yid wants to do every mitzvah. If only he could. Lusrach min averus to keep away from averus. But there's a big but. Yitzra the yitzahar, the vicious yitzahar gets in his way. He should talk for him. Is sitting on him, weighing him down. Vechiman shuhuka. Once he was hit, achatosh hashitzra, that weakened the yitzahar, got the yitzahar out of the way. And now he gets up and says, okay, I'm doing it. That's a true divorce, willing divorce. Or in the case of the carbon as well. Always remember as a kid, about 10, 11 years old, I used to go to this Shabbos shiur in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, New York, given by the Chashev Rebbe Eliezer Ginsburg Shlita. Shabbos afternoon, he used to speak about the parasha. I came into, you know, it intrigued me as a kid. So I remember him saying the idea about forcing the fellow to leave the curb and the get. And after the class, I went over, I said, you know, but isn't that counterintuitive? I mean, you're going against the idea of Ratzon, you're forcing him to... He said, it's a great question. He validated it and he quoted the Rambam. He showed me the Rambam inside. That was my first exposure to this wonderful Rambam. No, it's true Ratzon, it's true will, it's to do the right thing. It's a horror forcing him away. Get the Yitzhar out of the way. He's back on track, shining forth. Beautiful. Amar Papa, even though the Mishnah states that Mashkin is specific to Oilo Veshlamim, where he doesn't have that same degree of motivation, versus Chatas V'Asham, where he's personally motivated, there's no need to enforce it, but there are some exceptions. Sometimes it reverses itself. You can have a Chatas, which is just sort of part of the formality, not really bringing a Kapara, in which case you have to go after him to enforce it. And sometimes you have an Oilo, which is critical to his, you know, success, his process there, and brings Kapara, and in which case, you don't have to go after him because he'll bring it on his own. Omra Papa, Pa'amim, at times, the tables turn. Shechayev chatois mashkin oisin. You have to be a mashkin, a fellow who's meant to bring a chatos. Because we're speaking about a chatos, which is not critical. So, unless you go after him, you don't know if he's... On the other hand, chayev oilois, ainu mashkin oisin. You have a person who's chayev oilo, you don't have to go after him. For example, chayev chatois, mim mashkin oisin, a chatos where you have to enforce, bechatos nazir, a nazir. At the end of the process, he has to bring the achatas and other karbanos. The kivin d'amar, as we learned, im gila halachat mishlosh tan yotza. Even just one of the, you know, three karbanos, the achatas or the oil of the shlamim, can give him the green light to get the to cut his hair. So, you know, Nizrak Olav Echad Matamutul Hanozel Shteis Yayin. Tamil Mason. Likewise, if one of the karbanos was processed on his beach, this rika, he can go drink and go to Levaya. So, since any one of these three karbanos will open his door back into the community, Pasha Babalei Maisi, the concern, there's real concern that he might not be motivated to finish the series and bring the other karbanos. So, in this case, we have to go after him to ensure that he brings all his karbanos properly. Right, so even though it's a chatos, but in this case the chatos is not critical to his process, so you have to enforce it. On the other hand, chayev oilos, you have a case of a person's chayev oilos, where we don't have to go after him. There's no need. He'll do it on his own. Ein mashkenoisan when boilos yeledes. A woman who gave birth who has to bring her oilos, and Rashi says, for without she can't have karbanis, so she's motivated. Mind you, how do you know that the oilos gets in her way? Act of Mikra, because it's mentioned in the pasuk before the Chata, so you assume that's it denotes its criticality. Vama Rava teaches us that no, it's not that the Oila goes before the Chata and it's critical. The Mikra Higdima Kosev, it's just that in the pasuk it's mentioned first for whatever reason. Tesis learns elsewhere that it means that you have to designate the Oila before the Chata when you set aside the carb. But in any case, it doesn't mean that it's critical. So it's like a regular oila, and unless you enforce it, you don't know what's going to happen. Ela boilas metzera. We're speaking about oila that a metzera brings, which is vital to his purification process. In which case, you don't have to enforce it. He's self-motivated. The sign your shmon brachim rhythm break aimer or biechem break aimer. Kishem shachatas v'asham yikvasoi u'me'akvasoi. Just like the chatas and the asham of the metzera holds him back from his kapara, from his tahara. Kach oila semak yikvasoi. Likewise, the oila. So all three are needed, all three are critical, and he's self-motivated to bring it. So in some cases you have to force it, but v'afal b'she'im eskapa l'she'isratza, but you should know the actual kapara requires willingness and true consent. And Rabban Yaakov Oysoi, you work on him. Melamed, we learn from Mishnah Kofin Oysoi, sometimes you have to actually force him and compel him. Yechal Baal Korcha, perhaps you can actually bring the carbon against his will. Tamar Leiman, no, l'rut Sinai, willingly. How could you merge both things? It's against his will and it's with his will. Okay, so how do you work this out? We force him machayim until ultimately he says, you know what? Actually, here's my neshama speaking. Right, Sani. Amashmo. Oila tzrichadas. Shnamal ritzayna. So to process an oila, you have to have his ritzayna as per the pasuk ritzayna. Mike Mashmo, what's Shmuel's point? Tanina, we already have this in the Mishnah. Mishnah just told us that the kapara has to be done willingly because of the Ritzayin. The Tzricha must be Shmuel speaking about a sponsor. The Parash Lechavre. Reuben is sponsoring Shimon's carbon. He's mafresh a carbon for Shimon. So he knew that Shimon is obligated to bring an oila. Comes Reuben and says, you know what? I'll sponsor it. Comes Shmuel and says, you have to inform him to get his consent. Well, perhaps there's room to think. There's no need for consent. Bimazakas and Rabban, right? Zach and Adam shall be fun of. No. Kibin and Das. When do we need consent and awareness? Be the day when it's his own carbon. So when Bezdin forced it and pushed him to do it, you have to get his consent. But perhaps if his friend is sponsoring, thank you very much. Who says you need your consent? Kamash on the point of Shmuel to say, Zim Dalinichale. Who says Shimon is interested? Maybe he doesn't want somebody else to take care of my karbonis, the lechaper, to get a kapar b'mid loy the day with somebody that's not his. He wants to use his own money to get his own schus. So according to Shmuel, you have to get his consent and his okay when you are being mafresh or karbon on his behalf, even an oila. Maybe it comes a kasha from a braisa, which seems to say there's no need for consent. Chatos of Hashem shall plenty alai. I'm committing, I'm sponsoring that person's chatos for Hashem. Return to my place. Okay, Ladas, if he told, his beneficiary, right? If Reuven told Shimon, okay, Yotze, it works. But otherwise not, Shladas la Yotze. That's by a chatas v'asham, where there's vidu, there's kapar, but a losev shlamov, if it's an oilo shlamim, which are not really machaprim, there's no need to make vidu, shalplani elai, I am committing to attend to that person's oilo v'shlamim, then you don't need the awareness, you don't need das. Bein Ladas, whether he knows, whether he's okay with it, bein Shladas, or otherwise, he's also Yotze. In contrast to Shmuel, it says that even by an oiler, you need das. A melech Shmuel, the Shmuel responds, it depends on which stage in the process we're talking. There are two junctures to speak of. There's the moment of designation of Afrasha. That's what I'm talking about. You can't get started. You can't take off without telling the person before you mafresh the oiler. Okay, so it only gets designated as that person's oiler if he's okay with it, if he's maskim, if he's consenting. The Braisa, which says that by oiler v'shlamim, there's no need to inform, that's to inform him a second time. You know, at the moment of the hakrava, v'shaskav, you don't have to tell him at that point. Tosfos explains, there's no, you know, vidui going on, so even though he's giving up the smicha opportunity to lean on his karav, you don't have to, it's not critical, you don't have to tell him. Omelach Shmuel, Kitanya, he, when the Braisa says, no awareness, no notification is needed by the oila, kitani he b'shas kapara, when he's actually doing the kapara, meaning the hakrov of the carbon. The irtzi in b'shas afrasha, because he was already told, he was already informed, and he consented at the moment of designation initially. Kikamina, no. And in fact, when I say that an oila needs das, that's b'shas afrasha, and one was designated. Once we get that consent, he's good to go. Okay, so according to Shmuel, whether it's a chatos or an oila, b'shas afrasha, check, you need das. B'shas kapara, well, an oila does not need das, but a chatos v'ashem does. This explains because he wants, we assume the fellow wants to be involved and do the vidui with the smicha. Upligadula is exactly the opposite of Ula's approach. It takes the reverse approach. He says that, you have to tell everybody, whether it's an oila or chata, tell him b'shasti kapara, because he, you know, he wants to be involved in the smicha, do that mitzvah. Afrasha, chatos, you have to tell him. You have to tell him, it's, you know, if you mafresh a karim for his chet, and it has to become designated for that. But by an oila, you don't have to tell him initially, as long as he knows, ultimately, when you do the hakrova. So Ula takes exactly the reverse approach than Shmuel. Shmuel says, by Afrasha, all need to know. By Kapara, Oila does not. And Ula says, by Kapara, all do need to know. By Afrasha, Oila does not. The plea of Ula in disagreement with Ula. There's no difference between Chatas for Oila regarding getting, you know, consent at the moment of Akrab. Only difference is at the moment of Afrasha. Ella, rather, Shachatas, Trichadas, which is Afrasha. So by the chatos, you have to inform him that you'll be mafresh it for him and designating him for him in his kapara. But the oilah, you don't have to tell him during the afrasha. Tais explains, because by the chatos, you know, you have to tell him. Maybe he doesn't want to get a kapara from the other person's, you know, he wants to use his own kapara to get his own atonement in-house. But the oiler v'shlamim is not meant for kapara, so as long as you tell him later, at the last moment, you don't have to tell him initially when you're preparing it for him. But certainly, when it comes to the actual kapara, the moment of offering on the mizbech, the owner has to know. Either whether it's a chatas v'oiler, ledas. If he's told yotze, it works. Ledas, otherwise lo yotze. Maybe it comes a kash. The brayzer says chatas v'ashamish alosav v'shlamim shaplani alai. Okay, I'm sponsoring that person's chatos, is asham, is oila v'shlam. Alai, okay, it's upon me. You have to inform him. Does he have to know? Ladas. If he's told yotza, then it's a valid karmen. Sure, loy ladas, but without knowledge, lo yotza, it doesn't work. So, what is the Braisa referring to? Which juncture, which stage in the process? The hafrasha, the designation, or the kapara? So it depends who's speaking. Shmuel will learn that the Braisa, which issues a blanket rule that all karbanas need consent, that's b'shas afrasha, as per Shmuel's opinion. To get started, you have to have his consent. Shmuel mukla b'shas afrasha. Whereas Ula mukla b'shas kapara. He says, no, the Braisa is talking about during kapara, where it's a blanket halach on all karbanas. Amar Papa, let's address one more point. We seem to have a contradiction. In this braisa, we learn that das is needed all around. According to Shmuel, it's going on the afrasha, going to Ula on the kapara. But the earlier braisa, right, which we had in the bottom of Amud Aleph into Amud Beis, drew a line, made a distinction between the das requirement by chatos, which is not required by the oila. It seems to be a contradiction within the braisas. That could be solved easily as well. depends which juncture we're talking about, right? Likewise, we can resolve the apparent contradiction between two brises. Right? One is talking about by kapara, one by the afrasha. And each amoira, meaning Shmuel, will learn it one way, and Ula will learn it differently. Okay, and the Amoraim as well, right? They will interpret, you know, the brises and resolve the brises in accordance with their approach. As follows. Shmuel will learn as follows. Mukid Kamais, who established that the first brisa that says that the oil does not need das, b'shas kapara, that's speaking during the kapara, as opposed to basraisa, second brisa, the das is needed all throughout, that's b'shas afrasha, when you designate it. Ula goes the other way. Muki Ifchol learn it exactly the opposite. That when do we need das all around? That's b'shas the kapara. When does Ula not need das? That's b'shas the afrasha. But Amaroi about the pligi. But of course, the Amaroi, Shmuel, and Ula certainly disagree with each other, as we explain. Pshito, obviously, I mean, of course. While the tema, perhaps you can say that there really was no machlokes. My b'shas afrasha to come as Shmuel, af b'shas afrasha. Perhaps Shmuel agreed with Ula that by kapara you have to tell him whether it's an oil or a chatas. He wasn't disagreeing on that. And Shmuel needed two. He needed das by the afra, by the kapara, and by the afrasha in all cases. Maybe that's what Shmuel meant. So Ula required das all throughout by the kapara, and not by the afrasha. By the afrasha, the oil does not need. But Shmuel required das all around by all cases, by all steps of the process. Ma'adatim, perhaps there's room to misunderstand and to learn that when Shmuel says mai, when Shmuel says b'shas afrasha, the kama Shmuel says you need das b'shas afrasha, af b'shas afrasha, also b'shas afrasha. Va'avagav da'ach kamai set yufti. Although, according to this, it's going to be a little problem here, because if according to Shmuel, in fact, das is needed all around, all throughout, well, that first brisa clearly said otherwise. First brisa says that by oil we don't need das. So perhaps that's the correct approach to things. Kamashmal comes, Rapapa tells us no. So when he said the words Amaroi, Namele Kasha, Rapapa was clarifying for us that, in fact, each Amira, Shmuel, and Ula has their own way to resolve the apparent contradiction between the prices, as we explained. Because according to Shmuel, das, all around, is only needed by the Afrasha, as per the second Brisa. But by the Kapara, Ula does not need, as per the first Brisa. And Ula took the opposite approach. When is das needed all around? By the Kapara, as per the second Brisa. When is das not needed by the Ula? By the Afrasha, as per the first Brisa. And there really is this direct machlokes between Ula and Shmuel. Okay, the Mishnah continued. The same exact formula of a forced willingness is done by Gittin as well. Let's say the husband is a wise guy. He knows he's going to be forced to give a get. So he makes a moida, an advance notification. He gets a couple of friends and has himself declare in front of Edom, you know, next month I'm going to be taken to task, forced by the Bezin to give a get. I want to tell you, that get is now nullified in advance. Moidah, moidah. Actually, it has validity. He preempted the forced get. Pshit, obviously, I mean, it's a moidah. Of course it has validity. Leitzrich must be speaking like this. Das uha virzi. So next Monday, they pulled him into the Bezin. And he seemed to give the get willingly. So maybe that's considered a cancellation on the Moedah. All the time, perhaps there's room to think bituli batle, that by willingly giving the get, he's now undoing that Moedah. And now the get is valid. Kamash, on the point is no. Unless you explicitly cancel that Moedah, that moida overrides the get. How do I know this? Them came because otherwise, listen, actually, in the Mishnah describing the enforcement process, say, well, we force him until he gives. And that's enough to undo any prior, you know, notifications. The Mishnah doesn't suffice with eating. The Mishnah continues and says, "Achayoyimah reitzani." You have to force him until he gets up and says, "I am doing this willingly." That's an explicit verbalization that it's being done willingly and is an override on any prior moedah. Why does he have to go and say? You know why? Adam avatul moedah. So that the reitzani is considered a bittul on the moedah. Now it seems in the Gemara that just by saying reitzani, he's already been mevatel the moedah. But Tosis adds, he says lefichach nagu ha'olam. The accepted practice is levatel kamoedah. That in fact, when they force the husband to give a get, if halacha mandates that he gives a get, and he's doing it in a forced manner, so he has to actually say, we tell him to be mevatel all the moedahs. Spell it out. Not only that, umoedah de asu migoy moedah. A moedah which comes from a moedah, which means to say, you know, a fellow can get up and say, you know, next week I'm expecting them to force me to give a get. So I'm being moedah moedah, and I'm also being moedah moedah that if I'm mevatel, if the best forces me to mevatel my moedah, I'm informing you that that nullification is null and void as well. So it's just an endless proposition. So that's why when we have him give the get, we force him to say, we say like this, you're doing it willingly, you'll be mevatel any prior moedah and any moedah on this moedah as well. So basically we cover all bases and now it's a valid get. So we do all this b'shas k'tivas get, b'shas anasinah, so it says the chashin Hashem b'tloys, we're concerned that maybe he was playing games and he was mevatel in advance. Han l'chaim mishkal, says the Mishnah. Shum ha'yisoy mishleishim. So Rashi explains that we're speaking about when the Bezdin has to access the estate of the Yisoyim, we speak about Yisoyim in this perek, it's underage, Ketanim, not yet bar mitzvah, able to fend for themselves and to litigate in court, so we look after them with sensitivity and care. And we don't have to. They don't have to pay up debts of their father until it's, you know, until they're of age to deal with it properly and to figure things out. So typically we don't use their estate, the property that they inherited from their father, towards payments, but in some cases we do. We'll see in the Gemara what the exceptions are. And if we do, we do it with care. There's a whole formal, advertising auction process to ensure that we get proper value. So the shum means the appraisal system, the advertising system of the estate of the Hayusayim. Shleishim Yom is a 30-day process. Okay, so we put it on the market for 30 days. Vishum hegdash shishim yoyim. If it's a matter of selling hegdash property, that's a 60-day process. Umachrizmi advertise b'boker b'erev every morning and evening. Asks the Gemara, what's unique about morning and evening for advertising properties? Ma'ashlam b'boker b'erev. Amar vidam arab b'shatz ha'itzos pe'alam b'shatz ha'chanos pe'alam. When the workers go out to the farms and when they come back. Why? So he says like this. Di'ika d'nichal mizban. Because if you have a fellow investor looking to buy a property, looking to buy a farm, he knows that his workers, they're on the scene, they know what's going on in the farm world. So he's going to ask his worker on the way out, Amalu Payalim, he turns to the Payalim, Izilu, Cyril, Neli, you know, going out there anyways to work, you know, on your break, check him out for me, go see what's going on. Cyril means to survey, go see the state of affairs, and come back and report to me. And that's why we advertise again, we call it out again, Meshachach Nospoilim, towards evening when they come back from work. This way he jogs his memory, Dinitkar Damaluhu. So this way he now recalls that he had asked them to check out the field. Nezel Mishailu, and now he'll go and ask them for the details. Tanam, you'll find the same in the Braisa. Shema Yisoyim Mishleishim Yoyim, right? B'shema Yagdash Shishim Yoyim, Shishim Yoyim, Machrizim Boikub Erev, when we announce it morning and evening, B'shas Yisoyim Pe'elim, B'shas Yisoyim Pe'elim, on the way out, on the way in of the workers, Oymer. Okay, so what's the actual, announcement that the announcer does. He says like this, Sada Ploini, such and such field, Biz Simonea, with these, specific landmarks, with these, indicators, Ubi Mitzareo, and these boundaries, so he specifies the field with its, all its specifications, is up for sale, Kacha Yafa. you know, this is how much crop it produces, very productive field. This is what we evaluated as $3.2 million. Whoever wants to buy it, you're welcome to do so. Almanas, and the purpose is to pay off a debt. You should know the money is going to pay off the widow or ksuva payment, and or to pay off a debt of a debtor. Now, what's the point of specifying the purpose of the sale and the recipient of the sale money? Lamali lemeimar, what's the point of adding almanas litan leishuk ksuvasa b'chay b'chayvay? How does that add, to the sale? Says the more, actually, it adds an advantage, because sometimes it makes it more attractive to a buyer. He knows that deikah denichalei balchayv. Sometimes a person is pleased that it's a balchayv on the other side. To make a wazuzi, he'll be easygoing in terms of accepting all kinds of currencies. As long as he walks away with his money, he's happy, right? Rashi says zuzel shvurim b'chaserim, chipped coins. He's okay as long as he's a merchant. He's not so particular about the coins. So when he hears, when the potential buyer hears that the money is going to Baal Chayiv, he knows he has these bashed up coins, so he'll jump into the deal. And likewise, v'ikad nichle b'isha, and sometimes a person is pleased that the payout is going to the isha, who doesn't need the $3.2 million in one shot. She's happy to take it piece by piece, the payment plan, the shokal yad al yad. She'll take it a bit at a time, and make it easier for him to finance the purchase. So in fact, adding these details will make for a more attractive deal, which is the ultimate purpose. We're trying to, benefit the Yisraelim or the Hegdish to get, the best value out of the property. Okay, let's do a quick recap. We discussed the fellow who was Magdish, the future income of the house, and according to Rav Meir, that you can do that. We spoke about when to be Mamashkein, a fellow who was lacking some motivation in terms of fulfilling his pledge, whether it's an Erech, whether it's an Eilu Shlomim, but not so by the Chatas V'Asham, except for those, exceptions. When we speak about forcing a person to bring a carbon, that's only up until, but ultimately the actual Hakrov has to be done with a big Reitzani. Same regarding Gite Nashim. Can a person sponsor a carbon for his friend? Well, you could, but you need to get his consent, according to Shmuel, B'Shas HaFrasha, and B'Shas HaKapara by the Chatas, and according to Ula, B'Shas HaKapara and all Karbonis, and B'Shas HaFrasha by the Chatas. We explained the Pshat for that based on Tosfos. We spoke about Reitzani being Mevatel the Medoy as well, and we started on the process of the Shum HaYusoymim and the Shum HaHegdish, the selling process regarding properties of HaYusoymim or Hegdish, and how they go about doing it. Okay, all the best to you, and Surah Tosfos.